Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and managing director of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and the benefits of a licensed model. So on this podcast, I am joined by Ashley Wright. Ashley Wright is the CEO of Westray Recruitment, which has offices based in Newcastle and Stockton. Ashley, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. I just know we're going to have a great conversation. We always do when we get together. So how did we first meet? Can you remember?
I was trying to think of this the other day, actually, and I really don't know how we met. I imagine it was through the Entrepreneurs Forum. And my very first memory of you, Nikki, was when Richard McCann was talking at the Entrepreneurs Forum and you asked him a question and you started to cry because he'd influenced you so much and he was such an inspiration to you. And I remember thinking, how lovely is that? Aww. So I think we spoke after that and I can't even remember how many years ago that was now. But yeah, we just hit it off straight away. We both like to talk.
We do. And let's face it, so be warned, listeners, we're both talkers. No, it's funny you say that, actually, because, yeah, we did meet at the Entrepreneur Forum. Now, interestingly, that was a great conference. I mean, I love Richard. I attended one. So for those who don't know, Richard McCann, he helps build your confidence for public speaking. And I attended one of his training days many years prior in my network marketing days. And he was brilliant. And you're right. He was real game changing for me around building in my confidence. I learned so much from him in relation to presenting with confidence. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, when we came out of that conference and we walked down the hallway, I had a brand new pair of, you know how I like my shoes, yes, and my bags, had a beautiful pair of Manolos with bows on. And as I walked out into the hallway in a room full of people, fairly new to the Entrepreneur Forum, my heel caught on the bow and I went straight over head first into the floor. That's me. That's very much
how
of me.
How do you make a first impression, Nikki?
First impression, yeah, as always. But yeah, so we met, and it's true what you say. So we, as you know, I'm a certified DISC profiler, so I do look at personalities, and we do know from research that similar personalities, mm-hmm, are attracted. That's why people become friends. And we did. We got talking, and we've never looked back. We're just, mm-hmm, so similar in our personalities, our energy, our drive, mm-hmm, our morals, mm-hmm, our values, even in business as, yeah, well as personal. And you just click with, mm-hmm, someone. And I remember clicking with you. And, you know, we quickly became friends in business, friends, and we've kind of worked and known each other ever since.
Absolutely. It's been great. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. And as you've said, we're friends in business, but friends outside of business as well. And I feel like as you get older, you start to meet your friends through business anyway, because that's the only opportunity you have to really meet new people. So I'll forever be grateful that we met, Nikki.
Me too. And we do love working with you as a team. And, you know, we've done some great work together. So let's talk about your growth. Mm-hmm. Now, as I've already mentioned, you are the CEO, mm-hmm, no, managing director. You are the managing director of Westray Recruitment.
Yes.
And when I first met you, you were the commercial, mm-hmm, director. It's a family business. Your mum originally set up the business and, yes, she was the managing director at the time. And I mean, your growth, it's been wonderful to see where your mum's had the ability to step, mm-hmm, back, and you've then took over the role and the running of the business. And of course, it is a wonderful family business. You've got Steve, who is the financial, mm-hmm, director. You've got your sister Sadie,
yes,
who came in as HR admin, who,
yes,
we've worked really closely, mm-hmm, with, and she's now the operations manager. I'm so proud, and she's qualified, mm-hmm, her in her HR level 3 now,
she
which
is.
We've helped her with, and so proud of her. She's done, mm-hmm, brilliant. And then of course your brother also does the marketing and photography in the business as well, so it really is a family business.
Yes, it is, and it's great. And I, to be honest, I don't, well, I'm completely unemployable elsewhere now, if I'm honest with you.
And all entrepreneurs, we're not good at being told what to do,
no,
let's face it.
But I've worked in my business now for nearly 18 years. So I started working there when I was 16. Never, ever wanted to join Westray. I wanted to be a social worker. And I'll be honest, sometimes working in recruitment, you do feel like you're a bit of a social worker anyway. But it's been a great 18 years. And my growth and development over that time has just been fantastic. It has been hard. My mum and I especially have had our ups and downs during that time, especially when I was younger. But I absolutely love it. And it was such an honour and a privilege for me when my mum decided she was going to retire and step back, that I was then promoted to managing director. And the pressure was vast. It was a lot of pressure to carry because Westray was my mum's first baby. She was pregnant with me when she set the business up. And she's been a single parent throughout the past 35 years, so running our business and being mum to three kids, the work ethic that I've seen her demonstrate and that she's instilled in me has been absolutely amazing. But yeah, I had some big heels to fill when I was taking on her role. But it's been fantastic, but we couldn't have done it without the support from you and from Inspired, because it allowed us to really map out what the development plan was going to be, what I needed, what my sister Sadie has also needed in order to allow her to progress, and other members of the team as well. But yeah, it's been a hard 18 years, but a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. And family business is not easy. As you know, I'm a family business. My brother works in the business. My daughter did for a while before I encouraged her to follow her real dream. You know, and I've also got my husband who will eventually come into the business at some point. So, you know, it is a family business. And as you know, family is my first and most important value in business, because they're family, whether it's family or employees, you know, we are one big family, and it's a really important value to me. Now, I love your mum. Your mum, she is one of the most glamorous people. She just always looks stunning and beautiful. Yeah. She's really well known in the Northeast. She's got a very similar drive and business ethic to us. And like her, you've took after her around your motivation and your business ethics and that drive around the business, and you're taking the business onto the next steps and everything now as well, which we're seeing. And I'm the same. I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm very proud of my daughter. She's took after me. I think my drive and business ethic has enabled her to build the thriving tattoo business she's got now. You know, she's not long turned 24. I'm really proud of her. She's had her own tattoo business now for 2.5 years. So when she was 21, she set that up. So, you know, our ethics do rub off on our children, and clearly your mum's rubbed off on yourself. Talk to me about the challenges of the family business, though. You've talked about it's been challenging. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have challenging decisions. You know, what are your biggest challenges now with it? We love being a family business, but what are your challenges in the family business?
So the challenge that we have now is, I suppose, it's that change in leadership now. So how my mum has, and my mum's done a fantastic job over the past 35 years in running the business. But whenever there's a change in leadership, there's always going to be that issue surrounding, well, I wouldn't quite do it that way, or why are you doing it like that? So that is the hardest thing, and I understand why I'm questioned about the decisions that I make. And my mum and I were very similar, but we are very different as well. And there has been situations where I've had to make a decision where she hasn't necessarily agreed with it. But what's been fantastic is that she hasn't undermined me in any way, and she's allowed me to run with the decisions that I've made. Where we are now, though, is it's trying to find the balance between work and home as well. So trying not to have a board meeting around the kitchen table when we're just having a cup of coffee and a cake together.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to introduce, I say boundaries, but it sounds quite harsh. I don't mean it to sound as harsh as it does, but more for my mum's peace of mind, really, because she's made the decision to step back and retire, and I don't want her getting worried or stressed about what is going on in the business, just so that she can switch off and have her time now. However, on the flip side of that, whenever I have something that I want to run by her, she's still always very much there, and she's still a huge support to me. And I wouldn't be in the position I am now if it wasn't for her. But yeah, it's trying to
to find that balance between work and personal.
Yes.
And I actually get that, you know, with Mark, for many who know of the Bliss and Tomorrow, the podcast, is my big brother. He's kind of the head of the family because we've lost our parents. So he is that parental kind of lead in our family. And it's really hard because obviously I see him in work and there's responsibilities and boundaries. You know, boundaries is, you know, it's not a harsh word. You do have to have boundaries. The balance of time, running a business and a home life, it's hard when you're in business because you never switch off. And you're like me, you've got a busy mind. You're always very entrepreneurial, thinking of different things. So it's striking that balance when you're with family to not start. And to be fair, I'm not great at that. I'll be really honest, I'm not. You know, I'll talk about work anytime, but Mark is very good at that boundary. So when he comes round with his wife, Teresa, and we have family time, he's very good at going, we're not talking about work. And we'll have poker nights at home. You know, we'll have a Saturday night where Mark and Teresa will come round and we'll have like family fun poker night and things like that. Not gambling, by the way, for anyone listening. It's just fun family. We have a little trophy for everyone. So it is really hard to strike that balance. If you had to advise anyone that's considering being in business with family, what advice would you give them?
I would say absolutely do it, because your family are always going to be your biggest supporters. And what I found during my 18 years at Westray is I have messed up so many times, but I've always been able to go to my mum or Stephen, who's my cousin, and ask them to help me rectify the problem that I've had. And I suppose if you were employed by someone else, they may not be as lenient with you as what your family are. But I would just say definitely do it, but just be prepared for the change in family dynamics. It isn't easy. There will be, I alluded to it before, the board meetings around the kitchen table that you're not expecting. There is going to be a lot more pressure on you. When I was growing up, because I started working at Westray when I was still at school, so I was working at Westray on a part-time basis. And even as I got older into my early 20s, there was this misconception that I was a nepo baby, if you like, and I was getting to the point in my career where I was because I was the boss's daughter. But believe me, there is so much more pressure on you to do a good job than what there is anyone else, because ultimately you are representing your family. And I always knew my mum and Stephen didn't want anyone to think that I was being given opportunities based purely on the fact that I was a member of the family. So I had to work 10 times harder than anyone else. And that in itself was a challenge. I had to make a lot of sacrifices. So, I mean, there was one period where I didn't go on holiday for 5 years. And when I had time booked off, I would always cancel it because I felt like I needed to be in work. So I've had to make a lot of sacrifices, miss out on time with my friends, going on holiday with my friends, but I did it because I wanted to advance in my career. Looking back at the time, I was upset about it when my friends were going off for weekends or going on holiday and I wasn't there. And you do feel like you're missing out, especially when at the time I was in my early 20s. But now I'm in my 30s. I look back and think, well, I did that all for completely the right reasons, because I'm now a managing director. I have a great team around me and I have a lot more freedom now than what I did years ago. But the freedom I have now is fantastic. But the holidays and so on that I missed out on, it wasn't nice at the time, but it was definitely the right thing to do. But yeah, working in family businesses are great, but they are hard. But you just got to go in with it with your eyes open.
Yeah, and interestingly, I've spoken about this before, that actually working in a family business is hard because the employees do look to see if you're having preferential treatment. So you do put pressure on yourself and that, you know, whoever owns or runs the business. I think it's actually harder for family to work in a business because people think they have it easy, but actually I know from experience, I think they actually have it higher because they feel the pressure of not letting you down, which an employee wouldn't always possibly have that level of pressure on them. So I think it's actually harder to work in business. Now, you talk about your holidays. I know you love your holidays. So I can imagine those years where you couldn't get all the holidays you want was quite challenging and frustrating for you. So how do you make sure you get your holidays in business? Because I know I find it a challenge. And even when I do, the laptop comes away with me. I'm not very good at switching off. It doesn't matter how much I try, I don't. So how do you make sure that when you run a business, and it's a family business, you are able to get the holidays you need? Because we do a lot more than our employees, let's face it. You know, we probably average, I know I average easily an 80-hour week. Mm-hmm. My evenings and weekends, people, we talk about the flexibility, but we do mad hours mm-hmm. because we're always thinking and looking for different things. And so how do you get the holidays and that switch-off time that you need to rest your mind?
So I'm in a really fortunate position whereby I have a fantastic operations director who is my second in command in the business. So him and I don't ever take time off work at the same time. So if I'm not there, he essentially covers for me. And the same with my sister, Sadie, as well. She takes a lot of responsibility from me, which is fantastic. So she's always also in the business when I'm not there. So it allows me to pass over anything to either Tony or Sadie to be able to look at and manage in my absence so that I can get that downtime. And I'm very strict with my time now, where I actually just deactivate my emails from my phone. So I don't look at any emails when I'm on holiday. I put them on divert to either Tony or Sadie, and they manage everything when I'm off. So when I get back, I've got full visibility of what's come into my inbox, but it allows me that time when I'm away to completely switch off. Which was very difficult the first time I did it. But when I got back to work after my first holiday, when I had deactivated my emails, it was the first time I'd actually felt completely refreshed and as if I'd had an actual break from work. So I've never looked back. So I would recommend anyone does that. If you've got that one person who can manage your inbox, who you trust, if you get a confidential email come through, which inevitably will happen, mm-hmm. if you've got that person you can trust in order to manage that on your behalf when you're away, and then you know that it's going to be managed in the correct way, then I would absolutely recommend you do it. It's fantastic. I know you won't ever do that though, Nikki.
Well, it's interesting you say that, actually. I do. I actually have three of my team that help me manage my inbox, because a lot comes into me that shouldn't, and then they push it into the inboxes it should be going in. Obviously, my brother is one of them, and then I've got my ops and my head of consultancy for obviously operational reasons, because any business inquiries or work-related mm-hmm. stuff sometimes comes to me, because, as you know, we have a support email for client work and requests. But when I was early stages, it was my email address. So a lot of clients mm-hmm. have that relationship where it'll come to me, but I don't have the availability I used to now. I don't get involved in casework now, unless by absolute exception, because I mostly do, as you know, the ADHD coaching, the mediation and the business development now. And I more or less run the business as a CEO rather than a managing director now. So my team have to keep an eye. And I get a lot of junk and a lot of sales come in as well. So, and I am getting better. I have, funny enough, I had discussions last week about someone managing it. Even though they keep an eye on it, I haven't got someone managing it. So it is, I am in discussions. I will get there, but I'm not very good at delegating.
Watch this space. You're
right. Watch this space. Absolutely right. We talked earlier about how we've worked together. So we've known each other, I think it's from the beginning of when I became an Entrepreneur Forum member, which I think is about three and a half years now. So I've known you that long, and we've worked together. Now, we originally got engaged by you guys to do a project around your talent and development. You knew I had a 24-year background. Yes. And you had a conversation with me around, look, we've got this great business. I know we're not massive, but we want to build a really strong talent. We don't want just odd one-to-ones and appraisals. Your sector is challenging, as we know, within the recruitment field. There was a lot of movement, a really high turnover. But you wanted to build the business that was going to attract and retain mm-hmm. great consultants that saw a career path with you, and they weren't going to move for an extra £1,000 a year, and really build that talent pipeline, because mm-hmm. you knew you had some great potential, mm-hmm. but you just weren't sure where to go with it. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to you about something from my 24-year corporate, how we talked about how you map out and you grade the what they achieve and how they achieve it and the potential, and how that then guides you in relation to how you then work with those individuals to really kind of focus on that talent and help them develop, but also manage performance where needed and guide people in the right way. And that was the first project mm-hmm. we did for you. And I loved that because it took me back to my corporate days. And that actually was a project I handled myself. And what we did was we took a corporate structure. We simplified it. We implemented it. I meet with you guys every 6 months to do a calibration, mm-hmm. which is where I guide you on whether your scoring is fair and that it's equal and you're all scoring around the mechanisms. And that helps guide your peer awards. It helps guide your fair promotions and talent growth. And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And actually, on the back of that, we ended up then becoming your HR provider. Yes. What is the relationship like with Inspired HR? What I mean, you don't just work with me now. Mm-hmm. I originally did that project and I still work closely with yourself and mm-hmm. the senior leaders. But what is it really like working with Inspired HR? What do we bring to your business for you?
Working with Inspired is excellent. We love the relationship and everything that you've done for us and everything that you've guided us through. As my mum always says, she would be so much more grey if it wasn't for you, Nikki. But what we love about working with you is the fact that you don't tell us what we want to hear. You tell us exactly what it is that we need to hear. If there's something that we want to do, I'll pick up the phone and go, look, can we do this or can we not? And you're very open and honest with me about if it's possible. And I suppose the most important thing for me is that your main objective is to protect my business no matter what. So even though we've got a really strong working relationship and we're friends, you'll still always tell me, actually, Ash, you can't do that because it's going to put your business at risk, which we've not had before when we've worked with previous HR consultants in the past. We haven't had that open and honest relationship which we have with you. And for me, I would put my entire business in the trust of you, Nikki. And I always know that whatever advice you give us is the correct advice. And I've never, ever questioned anything that you've said or thought, well, that doesn't seem right to me. It's for me, it's the trust. I know that you have the reputation of my business at the forefront of your mind at all times. So it's been excellent from that regard. But what we've also loved is how our business has been able to change through the projects that you've worked on with us. So the talent and performance project that you mentioned before, that's allowed us to really work with our staff and develop pathways for them, which we weren't great at before, I'll be honest with you. And I think there's a lot of businesses, recruitment businesses, who aren't great at talent mapping. Mm-hmm. Typically, you'll find that the highest biller then becomes a manager, but really, they're sometimes the worst managers to have mm-hmm. because of their billing. They're quite selfish and they want to bill for themselves. They don't then want to have to manage a team. Mm-hmm. So it allowed us to really identify within my business those people who wanted progression and people who actually were happy to just stay where they are. Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like in business, there's a lot of pressure on staff to be ambitious and to show that they want more. But actually, it's okay if they don't want that.
Yeah.
If they want to be a steady Eddie, for want of a better word, that's equally absolutely fine. So it really allowed us, the project that we did with you, to consult with all of our staff, identify where the gaps in their skills or knowledge were and put them on a plan and a pathway to aid their development, and then identify people who wanted progression and development and the people who didn't. And it was really well received, and now we have 3 monthly formal one-to-ones with all of our staff. Then we have the annual appraisal, but it makes them feel heard and it makes them feel important mm-hmm. and makes them not feel like just another number. So we've had multiple people who have progressed into different roles. So you mentioned Sadie earlier. She thought she wanted to pursue a HR career and then thought, actually, I'm not really too keen on it. So mm-hmm. we then put her on a different career pathway, which has been fantastic. Yeah. We had another guy working for me who thought he wanted to be a manager, and then we gave him that job role, and then he thought, actually, I don't really like managing staff, so can I go back to what I was doing? So we've been able to develop people and put them into job roles that suit them and suit their skill set, which I really don't think we would have been able to do had we not had this piece of work in place with you that coached us on how to better manage people and better develop people.
And I am, you know, we are very straight, very no-nonsense, as you know, it's one of our values. And with any business owner, we will always be very honest. You are at the forefront of the business, but we still do balance the needs of the employees as well. And I remember when we rolled it out, you know, we combined it with Harrison's assessment, mm-hmm. which looks at the fulfillment of yes. your employees. So the fulfillment is there with them as well. For those who don't know what Harrison's assessment is, it's like a profiling system that has the ability to understand whether people feel fulfilled through surveys in their job as well. And I know you do mm-hmm. those quarterly pulse surveys yes. to keep an eye on whether people are feeling fulfilled in the role, which is really important. And we've seen the growth. Now, I remember when we rolled this out, I'd come in to brief your staff mm-hmm. and there was an employee who it was just lovely, and I know she's recently retired, such a lovely lady. I'm sure she's going to be mm-hmm. very missed, but I remember she got upset. And after the you know, she sat in this room full of people where I was briefing, we're rolling this out, and she broke her heart. And we went into a room with her afterwards to really understand why she was so upset. And I know, I've done this 33 years, I know that sometimes a performance process can be used as a beating stick. I've worked in companies that use it. Managers use it as an opportunity to beat up their staff, you know, not physically, but mentally within a meeting and you know, throw things at them. And it's not always used in the right way. And when we talked, we actually, it actually stemmed from a fear, because she had experienced this personally in a prior employer mm-hmm. where that company did use their performance and appraisals and review process as a way to beat staff with a stick and really berate them instead of using it as an opportunity to celebrate and really understand it and make it two-way and really make it mm-hmm. for what it is. And, you know, she was sceptical, but she saw for herself when we rolled this out, it was there for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And she was one of your top performers.
Yeah.
And I remember coming into the calibrations and I was just so proud of her to go from this person that had absolute fear mm-hmm. of this process to becoming the biggest advocate for mm-hmm. it and telling everyone how brilliant it was. And because it really enabled her to shine, it enabled her to really see how that process should be used mm-hmm. in the right way. And we know not every business does. And actually, in the future of HR, I know a lot of people that are, you know, strategic HR, where they look at the future and the talent and the growth and the values and cultures of businesses, which is, you know, more heads of directors of HR within businesses. A lot of them actually now talk about that they don't like these processes anymore. And I see where they're coming from, but in every business, that won't always work. I think you've got to strike the balance. Some businesses find very casual, just one-to-ones processes. But in your business, because of the nature of your sector, although some people find this kind of talent pipeline a little bit old-fashioned, mm-hmm. it absolutely is right for your sector, actually. And it's, we've seen the success it has actually had in your business for many, many people. And you've got the highest retention I've ever seen in recruitment. Mm-hmm. You've got the highest fulfillment. I mean, you are way, way above the benchmark outcomes for those things in your business. It really has been a success yeah. for your business. But you should be proud, because it's not just something that happens. You and the rest of your leadership team have really worked hard on this to understand how to grade, how to score, how to give feedback, how to do this in the right way, and really use it for the way it should be used yeah. to develop and attract and retain great people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lady you spoke about before, she recently, up until she retired, she would come into our one-to-ones and annual appraisals full of beans and really looking forward to it. And that was the change in her mindset when, from the beginning and from the early days, when she, as you said, she had absolute fear. But it's really helped this entire process, actually really helped Tony and I, because Tony and I are nice people, and even though he's ops director and I'm managing director, it doesn't come naturally to us to have to really challenge people who aren't performing, because we want to be nice to everyone, and I don't want anyone to feel hurt or upset by the feedback that they're being given. So it's something that Tony and I have always struggled with, to have to pass on negative feedback, but in a constructive way. Yeah. But it's really helped mine and Tony's confidence in the entire process in terms of how we deliver the messages that we need to pass on, but in a really positive way and in a way that will help them turn things around. So it was hard for us at the beginning because, as I said, our talent process beforehand, well, we didn't have one. We didn't have one. So it's been a journey for Tony and I, but now we really look forward to it, and we've got into our own flow and our own rhythm of how we have to manage it and deliver it, which has really helped us and helped in our confidence in knowing actually the process that we've got is fantastic, and it allows people to really thrive and flourish in the roles that they're in.
Mm. And it has, and I've seen that with yourself and many others, and we're very proud of what mm-hmm. the work that we did with you. I know you're very proud of everything you've got in place around it. And, you know, the reason we've worked together and the reason we've had so much success together is because our values, mm-hmm. even our values as a company, are so very similar and aligned, just our whole ethics. We're both very strong about business ethics and everything like that. We're both very, very much about integrity in business. And we know they're really, really kind of high on that level for us. So it really has been game changing for mm-hmm. you as a business, and we see that in your retention, which is great to see. So we've had a great time working together, but we then ended up having a discussion about what was next for us working mm-hmm. together, which has led us to actually developing a HR service arm yes. with you for your clients. Mm-hmm. So I will often deliver training for your clients mm-hmm. on employment law and changes or conflict management and things like that. We deliver services for your clients mm-hmm. now. So when your clients need HR, because a lot of them don't have HR, we now deliver that service for them. And in any businesses, it takes time to build that level mm-hmm. of trust, because the confidence you must have in us, which I'm really proud of, for you to go to your clients mm-hmm. there's inspired HR, they will do a great job for you. That must have been a big decision for you to take, because you've effectively opened your client list to us, which is great, we work together. But that's a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I would never, as you said, I would never have done that if we didn't have that trust in you. And the reason that we've got that trust in you, Nikki, and your business is because of the situations that you've been able to guide us through. Mm. We've worked together for a few years now, and for my business, we've had a lot of ups and downs during those 3 years. Mm. And if we didn't have your support to guide us through some of the obstacles that we were facing, I really don't know where we would have been. So I'm delighted that we're able to have this service on with you, because I'm a walking, talking testimonial for you, Nikki, so I can say to my clients, Nikki has done X, Y, and Z for me, and this is why I think that her business would be great for you to work with. So yeah, I'm really excited about it, and I know that you won't make me look daft, Nikki.
That's a great compliment. Thank you for that. and you know, that because we are so similar, when I speak to your clients, because I always deal with the initial business development, they've got a great relationship with you. They know they're getting similar with me: values, ethics, personality, drive, motivation. You know, and we both, you know, I love what I do, you love what you do, and I think they kind of just get another version yes. of yourself when they work mm-hmm. with us, which is great. So what's next for Westway Recruitment?
Good question. And I think I'm still trying to figure that out. We've got a plan in place to continue to grow our service offering, so expand the service offering we've got with you. We're expanding into different industry sectors right now, so we're really looking at the renewables and the energy sectors, which are thriving and massively growing, especially in the Northeast. So for us, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We are great at recruitment. We've got a great team of staff who work for me. We've got a great client base. So for us, we're just going to keep focusing on what we're good at. I was having this conversation with my operations director last week. We're a small team, sort of 16 to 20 people. We've got our two offices, and I'm happy with the size of our business. We've got great service offerings, great team. And for me, I just think we just need to keep doing what we do, doing what we're good at, I'm not going to sit here and go, this time next year we're going to have 50 staff and 3 other officers, because to be honest, I couldn't be bothered with the headache of it all.
I don't think I could cope with that.
I couldn't, no. We're just, and there are, we've got a lot of competition in the market, and there are a lot of our competitors who are much bigger than what we are, and that's great for them. But for me, I love the size of our business. I love our clients. I love the team that we've got. So we're just going to keep cracking on, keep focusing on the recruitment offering and the HR service offering with you.
And I think that's a good shout, because, you know, we're doing very similar at the moment. You know, I introduced a new service in January, Inspired Minds, which has really took off. We introduced a number of services last year around mediation, coaching, training. So we're very much similar to you now. We've kind of got the services. We're very much going to be stabilising. We're obviously getting growth with associates and territory licences as well. So for us, like you, it's about taking stock and making sure that those foundations are completely stable and we continue to do what we do well. You know, that's very much the same for us. And let's be honest, the next 18 months are going to be tough with the Employment Right Bill changes that are coming. Some people are starting to take that a lot more serious now. You know, we've had quite a lot of growth this year where people are recognising that's going to be a real game changer. And I know I do regular legal updates for businesses and HR consultants on that, where I pass on what I've learned, and I work really closely with Kat Moody of Richard Reed Solicitors on this, where we share that. You know, I've got a previous podcast, I've got a great relationship with Kat. She talks about it from a legal point of view and how solicitors see it. I talk it from a simple HR point of view, and we both have the very different views on it. But HR is going to become challenging over the next 18 months. You know, there's a lot of changes coming, and people shouldn't underestimate what these day one rights, the SSP impact for small businesses is going to be. The fire and rehire and varying terms and conditions is going to become a real challenge, where trying to get someone to change their hours or their days in the future is going to be much harder. You know, day one rights to unfair dismissal, whereas at the moment it's 2 years. These are all massive changes for small businesses, and they absolutely shouldn't be underestimating what's happening. So, and the impact it's going to have on them. So I think you're right, and it's very much what I'm looking at the moment. And we've got a big challenge getting businesses ready for these changes, because there is going to have to be changes to the way that they work to make sure their business is protected. So we've got quite a lot going on around that.
And it's not far away either. I mean, I look at it, and when you hear about these things, when they're first announced in on the news, you think, oh, that's ages away. I've got plenty of time to be able to think about that. And then before you know it, it's just around the corner. So yeah, businesses do need to prepare now. And it's something that, again, we're having to look at in terms of the impact on my business, but the impact for our clients as well. So yeah, we just have to watch this space.
And there is a bigger impact for you as an agency, because as a recruitment agency, you will be aware that the right to minimum hours and the changing of our working hours, it's not just going to affect employees, it's actually going to affect agency staff as well. So there's a lot of agency changes that, you know, we're going to have to work really closely with you guys to make sure is right, because some of the employment law rights around your worker status, agency staff, they're going to gain a lot of rights that they currently don't have as well. So it's going to be a challenge for you, especially when you are such a reactive service for your clients around the temp side. So we know that's coming. It's been a great conversation, Ashley. I always love talking to you, and always do. Brilliant. Enjoyed it. Have you got any holidays coming up?
Of course. So I'm going to Paris for a few nights with my other half. Then we've got a week in Santee in September. And then we decided to really splash out for Christmas, and we're going to the Bahamas for Christmas this year. So next year, I think I'm not going to be able to afford any holidays at this rate.
You'll be still paying for the Bahamas one next year.
So yes, I'm very much looking forward to them.
Brilliant. It sounds like a fantastic time. Well, thank you for being my guest, Ashley. I have really enjoyed our conversation. It's always great to talk and work with you. So if people want to find out more about your services, Ashley, what is the best way for them to do that?
So I'm on LinkedIn, so you can search for me on LinkedIn, Ashley Wright. That's probably the best way to contact me. But yeah, you can go on our website as well, and all of my contact details are on there, westrayrecruitment.co.uk.
Fabulous. Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head to the show notes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. See you next time.